And I want us to look at a passage in the book of Acts, but the Lord's already spoken to me just about the way that the message that I bring tonight, what I want to say to you, and what I know that God has already started to do in your heart. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for reminding us that you are a good and faithful God. That you are sovereign. That you love us and that you love the world. And that you're so much bigger a God than what we think in our pea-sized brains. God, I pray that you would remind us tonight that we have been born for a time such as this. And that you desire to use us in incredible ways to see your glory reach the ends of the earth. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Does anybody know Jeremiah 29:11? Somebody that knows it, stand up and quote it for us. Quickly. Now, who knows it? Raise your hand. Thank you. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. What does that mean? Have you thought about it? In light of your life, what is God saying to you? That he has a spouse picked out for you? That he's got a great degree ready for you? He knows the plans that he has for you? He has got the perfect job for you. And when you graduate, you will graduate. When you graduate, you'll find that perfect job. Do those thoughts cross any of your minds? So I've got one head nodding. Anybody over here that ever crossed your mind? Good. Was that verse written just for you? What about for the young Kazakh who graduates from the university and has no hope for a job? 60% unemployment. Or the child in Afghanistan who's known nothing but war. Does God have plans, good plans for that child? Or the beggar in India. Does God have good plans for that beggar? Or just for Americans? There's an incredible passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 32. We tell you the good news. What God promised our fathers, He has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son. Today I have become your father. The fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words, I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. So it is stated elsewhere, you will not let your Holy One see decay. And then verse 36, for when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers and his body decayed. Now that's set against the Lord Jesus, who was raised from the dead, whose body never saw decay. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish. For I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you rejected and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light to the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. I really just want to share three things with you tonight, briefly, and I want to tell you a couple of stories. Out of the passage in Acts. The first thing that I want to say is just to remind us that God's ways are not man's ways. God wants to do incredible things through us and for us, and yet we will not believe it, even if we're told. I sat tonight and listened to Jeremy and just to the stories as we looked at the slides, and was reminded of Focus Beginnings. In 1991, I had the privilege to go with a group of about 300 other folks to Almaty, Kazakhstan. First time I'd ever been really outside the continental United States. Oh, I'd made a short trip to Jamaica on a mission trip, but I'd never even heard of Kazakhstan and had no idea where it was. But one of the things that I'd been praying prior to that time was that God would begin to do in and through me those things that couldn't be explained in human terms. And I didn't fully understand what that meant. In the summer of 1991, after I returned home, I had every intention of going back to Kazakhstan again in 1992. And it wasn't too long after I returned home that communism fell and my heart sank, because I felt like that probably that was the end of any opportunity to travel again in the former Soviet Union. Little did I know what God was about to do. I went back in the summer of 1992 with a student group and came home with a burning desire to see God touch the lives of students in Kazakhstan. In the summer of 1991, as best was known, there were less than 100 Kazakh believers in a country of 15 million people. Now, I don't know what the numbers are now, but we didn't meet Kazakh believers in those days. And God placed it on my heart that somehow there ought to be a way for university students to touch the lives of their peers, university students in Kazakhstan and places like that. And so in the fall of 1992, along with a number of other people, I made a trip back to Kazakhstan to see what the possibilities were for students to go and share the good news about the Lord Jesus with their peers in Kazakhstan. We had to have a reason to go. We couldn't go with missionaries stamped on our passport. In those days, you still can't. And so while we were there, we made a trip to a little town called Jambul, I think about 300,000 people, visited three universities while we were there. The last university we visited was an engineering school. It was a school that developed irrigation systems. And we had a tremendous visit with the president of that university. Thought maybe there'd be an opportunity for some students to come. He wasn't really all that excited, but it might happen. We got ready to leave. There were seven of us in a van. The missionary was standing talking with the president of that university, and Brian, after a short visit in Kazakh, which was very impressive to this university president, no one spoke Kazakh in those days, not even Kazakhs. They spoke Russian. And Brian got in the van and he said, we can be on this campus. We can be in this city. There are no other Americans in this city. We can be here. Brian, tell me, how can we do that? Well, he said, it's like this. Some of you have heard this story. This president wants a chicken hatchery on this campus. And they do irrigation work here. They develop irrigation systems, but they'd like to do something different, and so they want to put a chicken hatchery here, and they've got land to put it on, and they have people that are trained to run a chicken hatchery, but they don't have any incubators. He said, I have incubators, and I have incubators in this city, and they're commercial-size incubators. Brian, where did you get those? Well, you see, it's like this. There was a Swiss chicken farmer who saw a television program on Kazakhstan. This is a true story. This Swiss chicken farmer was a believer, and God spoke to him. He was getting ready to buy new state-of-the-art incubators, and God spoke to him and told him to send his used chicken incubators to Jambol, Kazakhstan. And so with the help of the German government and humanitarian aid, he loaded them up on trucks, and they shipped them or drove them to Jambol, Kazakhstan. Cost about $500,000. And they had been sitting in that city for 6 months and no one knew why they were there or what to do with them. Brian said, you know, if you'd like to have some students come this summer, that'd be great. And if you've got some journeymen that would come and stay in this city and oversee this chicken hatchery, they don't need to know anything about chickens or incubators. They, you know, they could hang out at the university and set up a reading room and do what they're going to do, and then once a week they could go out to the chicken incubators and say hi to the guys and see if there are any baby chicks, and, you know, everything would be cool. That'd be really all they'd need to do. Well, God did that. And God is still in the business of doing those things that many of us would not believe even if we were told. God is in the business of doing the miraculous and seeing His purposes fulfilled. Now, I want to tell you about that chicken hatchery. Rusty Cryer, who's now on staff with me, was one of those journeymen that went, and they had the privilege, along with two other young men, fresh out of college, green as they could be, and we really didn't anticipate that, you know, if they had an opportunity to share the gospel a few times, that would be great. English level was pretty low, and their Kazakh was non-existent. So we thought, boy, if they could just share the gospel a couple of times, that'd be great. The result of their 2 years in Jambol, Kazakhstan, was to see a church planted in that city, led by a man that was half Uzbek and half Kazakh. See, two smaller churches planted in villages outside of the city, and many come to faith in Christ. You know what's so exciting about that? There's never been one chicken hatched. Not one incubator has been plugged in. But God did a work in that city. And it's time, men and women, that we begin to believe that the God who tells us He will work will do what He wants to do. And as I sat and listened to Jeremy talking about the way God is raising up people in Almaty, this is a little town outside of Almaty, a good ways from Almaty. And God did a work there, and He's done a work in Kazakhstan, and there is still a need for men to be raised up in leadership. But God has been about doing that. There's a second thing that I want to say to you tonight. You were born for a time such as this. You were born for a time such as this. If someone were to come to you tonight and ask you, most of you, I'm going to guess that the average age in this room tonight, if you take Max and I out of the mix, is probably about 20. Forty years from today, someone is going to come to you and ask you, what are three things that you want written on your tombstone when you die? And you look back over the past 40 years, what do you want to say? Oh, I had a great marriage. My kids loved Jesus. I was a good boss. I was a good employee. I taught a Sunday school class. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But I hope that what we would be able to say is that because of the hand of God on my life, salvation was taken to the ends of the earth. Now, I'm an Okie. I live in Kansas, but I grew up in Lawton. And I still know how most of us Okies think. It never crossed my mind as a 20-year-old that I would ever live anywhere besides Oklahoma, and certainly wouldn't go to Kazakhstan or to Kathmandu or to Beijing or to Marrakesh. You say, man, that is so neat. You get to travel all over the world. You know, there are a lot of days I'd trade places with you. I hate kumis. And century eggs in China, they just don't do a thing for me. Sheep eyeballs aren't bad, but you were born for a time such as this. And what you have been born for is to take salvation to the ends of the earth. How long has it been since you've met someone your age and looked them in the eye and they've been able to say to you, no, I don't know who Jesus is. I've never heard His name before. Does that happen in Tulsa or Frederick or Walters or Godibo? Probably not. You were born for a time such as this. The third thing I want to say to you is this. You need to do the same thing David did. What did David do? He served the purpose of God in his generation. Men, it is time for you to stand up and be men. You know, I thought about what Jeremy said, that we pray that God would raise up male leadership in Kazakhstan. Is it John Stossel who says, give me a break? We need to pray that God would raise up male leadership in the United States of America, and it is time tonight for some of you men to stand up and be men. Well, John, I've got to get a job. You know, I'm going to have to provide for a family someday. That is not a bad thing, and it is not a wrong thing. What is wrong is if you will do that at the expense of obeying God to stand up and do what it is He's called you to do. And frankly, fellas, some of you haven't listened well enough to know what it is God's saying. David served the purpose of God in his generation. You remember Jeremiah 29:11? God does not have purposes. He has a purpose. And that is that every tribe and tongue and people and nation would hear the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his purpose. Does that mean every one of us has been called to go to Kazakhstan? No. It doesn't mean that we've all been called to go to Mongolia or to Morocco or to Kenya. But it does mean that we have been called to see God's purposes fulfilled. And whatever decisions we make, whatever it is we do, it is not about us. It's about Him. We can only serve God's purpose in our generation. You will probably not have a huge impact on your parents' generation. But you can have a huge impact on your generation and on generations that will follow you. And you will only impact those who follow you if you obey God today to do what He's called you to do today. Now, I don't know what that means in terms of whether you ought to go overseas to spend the summer overseas, to be a journeyman. I don't know about that. But I do know that you had best have on your heart, each of us, needs to have on our heart the purpose of God, that every tribe and tongue and people and nation would bow before the King of Kings and worship Him. And that our lives are given to that. And that will impact the way you live. It will impact the kind of schoolwork that you do. Are you messing around in school? Now, I can speak to that one. I want you to know that I crammed 4 years into 5.5 to get a degree. And some of you are playing around the same way that I did, and it's not worth it. If you're going to be a student, you need to be the best student that you can be. If you're going to be involved in a dating relationship, it had better be one that honors God. And some of you are in relationships tonight that you know you shouldn't be in. And there's no way that you will impact the nations in the kind of relationship that you're in. It'll never happen. God has called us, like David, to serve His purpose, not purposes, His purpose in our generation. And there are tremendous opportunities to do that. It has been such an incredible thing for me to see what God has done in Kazakhstan. I could tell you story after story after story about what God has done in that place. But I can also tell you story after story about what God has done in other places. Through a group of college students that went to Xi'an, China this summer and saw 27 of their peers come to Christ. And I was in Xi'an for a couple of weeks, several summers ago, with a team that saw no one come to Christ when they were there. And they prayed and they shared the good news and no one responded. And we saw God a year ago move in Xi'an in a way that we couldn't believe. And then it happened again this year. We saw another team go to a small town in northern China called Panjin. and they were treated like royalty. I mean, people were asking for their autographs. They were on television. They had banquets thrown for them. They gave more toast than they didn't know what to say with these toasts. You know, they were toasting everything they could think of. And no one came to Christ. I got word last week that as a result of their being there, there have been at least two that have come to know the Lord Jesus since they left. We saw a team go to Morocco and a couple of teams to Cairo and really struggle. And in all of those situations, God has been at work. You were born for a time such as this. And God wants to use you in incredible ways to take His name to the ends of the earth. I hope you don't miss it. I hope you don't miss it.